Jeffrey's woke up late again. Can you guess what's the first thing Jeffrey does in the morning? It's not push-ups, it's not meditation, and it's not even brushing his teeth. Jeffrey goes on Snapchat and sends streaks to girls. Jeffrey, they don't want you. They're just using your daily streaks for validation, and they're getting pounded by the guys who don't even follow them back on Instagram. If you start your day like Jeffrey, you'll end up like Jeffrey. And trust me, you don't want to end up like Jeffrey. Just look at it. Disgusting. Adonis. Adonis wakes up and grabs his spear, and then he runs straight into the jungle alone. He sees the marks on the floor and he spots the giant boar, the one that took down his father. He throws his spear right into the boar's guts, drags it back to his camp, and everyone celebrates. Everyone loves Adonis. And what's this? Adonis is going back to his cave and he meditates and he journals. What a great morning routine. I'm going to give you the perfect morning routine, and this will change your life because it changed mine. There was a time in my life when I used to wake up and the first thing that I would do, I would scroll on social media. I'm scrolling, and I end up getting to porn. You know, softcore porn, those fitness influencers and like the thirst traps. The first nut of the day within a few minutes of waking up. I'd brush my teeth poorly, maybe for like 30, 45 seconds. And then I swear to God, most days of the week, I would go to the other room and I'd start smoking weed right then. Like I'm talking at like 9 a.m. first thing in the day. I'd be high all day. I'd go on my computer, start playing video games, clicking on random YouTube videos. Sometimes I would watch YouTube videos of like morning routines and self-improvement. And I wanted to be able to do those things, but I just never felt up to it. I just never knew how to actually take action and try and actually improve my life. I was stuck in this massive rut where I was high all day. I was eating all this disgusting junk food. It gets to 11 p.m., 12, 1 a.m., and I'm still scrolling, and this is when it would get dark. At those dark times, that's when I would just fap. Like, I would literally just watch porn 4 hours, and I'd be smoking weed, killing time and everything. Once all that was done, and I've nutted like 3 times, and it's 2 a.m., 3 a.m., I'd brush my teeth poorly, get into bed, and cuddle up with my girlfriend. Through that entire time, I was literally living with like an ex-girlfriend of mine. That's how down bad I was. Think about that level of down bad, that level of being a Jeffrey. Like, I was the ultimate Jeffrey. I had a girlfriend and I was still jacking off and watching porn for hours. That's how fucked my mental health was. I'm telling you that embarrassing story about me to let you know, like, most likely I was actually at a lower point than you are now. And I made it out. Following the steps that I'm about to walk you through is how I made it out. And I've achieved the transformation of my lifetime. I'm well and truly, like, so fulfilled. I've achieved so many big goals, and most of all, like, I'm genuinely so happy and satisfied and fulfilled in life. And I promise you, I give you my word, it all started with the morning routine. You know how online there's like this great battle between should you do a morning routine or should you just like work right away? We have like the Ashton Halls who are viral doing their massive morning routines where they dunk their face into the ice and then they read and then they do some push-ups and do all these things. And then we have like the Alex Hormozi who says, no, just wake up and get to work. I've done both for the last few years, and I'm telling you right now, life overall, and also in a weird way, business as well, is actually better with a good morning routine first. This is why I've made the perfect morning routine, which will set you up for the day. It'll make you feel productive. It'll give you a win right away, but it also doesn't take too long so that then you can finish it fairly quickly and then get to work as well. So let me walk you through it. The best morning routine does not start in the morning. The best morning routine starts the night before when you're planning. So this is something I want you to do every single night. Just before you brush your teeth at nighttime when you're getting ready for bed, I want you to insert a new habit, which is what we're gonna call planning tomorrow today. For the last 5-10 minutes before you're about to brush your teeth at nighttime, sit in front of your computer or in front of a journal or phone on like a note page and plan out what you're going to do tomorrow from the morning to the nighttime. So you might wanna use a software like Google Calendar, or you might just want to write it down almost like a soldier would, like 5 a.m. wake up, 5:30 meditate, 6 p.m. work, 7 a.m. commute, 8 a.m. whatever. You want to write it down in order using the time of the day, what you're planning to do, what time you're going to go to the gym, what time you're going to eat, and what meal you're going to eat. Like literally make all these little decisions right now. Like what are you going to train in the gym? Don't just write gym at 9 a.m. Write chest day plus 1 hour of cardio. Make all these little decisions, what you're going to wear, which classes you have, all these little decisions, make them at nighttime because you'll be using your brain to make these decisions. And it's better to use your brain just before you're about to go to sleep than to wake up and then need to make all these decisions tomorrow. And you get a bit of that decision fatigue, you know, where you're like kind of slow deciding what to wear or what you should train or what you've got to do or what task you should do with a homework or whatever. All these little decisions, plot them out right now. And the exact way that I did this, I had just the notes app on my phone and I would write down the hours of the day from the time I was waking up to the bedtime. So 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m., all the way through to about like 9 p.m. And I would write what I was going to do at that hour. So I didn't just write the tasks that I had, which is what a lot of people do, but I literally plotted it out kind of like a timetable. And trust me when I say, if you just do this one habit, it will change your life. You'll realize just how disorganized like the average person is. They don't even plan what they're gonna do tomorrow. They don't even know what workout they're gonna do tomorrow or what they're gonna eat. When you're the type of person who's planned that for tomorrow, that means that tomorrow, when you go through the day, you don't need to make all those little decisions that tire you out. So do this literally tonight. Don't cope and think to yourself, oh, well, I'll start this next week. Oh, Hamza, like I'll start, you know, tonight's gonna be a bit different and maybe it's a weekend or so. Next week or tomorrow, I'll do this tomorrow. No. Tonight, before you go to bed, plan tomorrow today. Set an alarm on your phone or a calendar or whatever reminder on your phone for maybe like 8 or 9 or 10 p.m. tonight to do this planning tomorrow today, just before you usually brush your teeth and get into bed. That's step one of the perfect morning routine. Step two is waking up in the morning. There's three levels to waking up in the morning. Level one is what most people do. Level three is where I've got to, but I want you to get to at least level two. Level one, you get your phone, you put on the alarm like 5 a.m. or 6 a.m., you sleep, you wake up to the alarm, the fucking cancerous, like, you know, the one that you fucking hear in your dream for a second, like you're about to fuck your teacher from high school and you fucking, oh damn it, not again. The one that if fucking I get trauma listening to the iPhone alarm, right? That's level one. That's what most people do. They literally get pulled out of their dream, out of their like REM sleep to that traumatic cortisol spiking noise. Level one, we're never going back to that level again. Level two, this is what I want you to upgrade to, is download the Sleep Cycle app on your phone. It's a free app. And that app lets you do something really special. It lets you set an alarm, but for a half an hour block of time. And then it's listening, you know, through your phone's microphone. And then in that half an hour block, it will wake you up when you're in the lightest bit of sleep. So it doesn't really wake you up in like the biggest, deepest part of sleep, but it wakes you up when you're slightly just already kind of waking up. That's when the soothing music comes in. And you'll realize if you use this app, you'll wake up like so much like softer. And it's like a beautiful start. And that's really nice. That's level two. Download the Sleep Cycle app. Like literally right now, you could put this video on pause. Download it, set up the app, and then come back here. Level three, I'll just let you know right now, and this is something you can do in the future, but right now, you might not be able to do this. And level three is wake up without any alarm at all. I've got to such a good place in life. I have not set an alarm for fucking ages. I literally go to sleep at the same time basically every single night. I go to sleep at 8:20 p.m., but I wake up at whatever time my body wants to wake up. I have no alarm. I'll just wake up. Today I woke up just before 7. Most days I wake up between like 5:30 and 6:30. Once you've got to a privileged place in life where you don't have, you know, like some work, some job, some school or anything, then it's really nice. And I want you to get here, but it took me a few years to get to this point of like freedom and success where there's no alarm on my phone. How fucking, let's give me a fucking pat on the back for this. That's your fucking future, bro. You stick to this Jeffrey Adonis transformation, and I promise you, you'll get to a point where there's no alarms on your phone and you're living like this weird, powerful life where like you don't have to wake up sleep deprived anymore. Nothing's commanding you to wake up and go somewhere. It's a fucking sick life to be in. As soon as I wake up for this perfect morning routine, the thing that I've always done, and I'm going to include it here, even though it's a bit weird, I go to the bathroom and I have a shit. I have a shit consistently every single morning, and I'm pretty sure that means that you've got like a good digestive system. You know, you're consistently going to the bathroom at the same time. I think a lot of guys are like this as well, but for girls, it's weird. Like, it's so normal to speak to a girl. She'll be like, oh yeah, I've not had a poop this week. I'm like, what the fuck? What? Like, I've had like four today. And she's like, oh yeah, I've not had one in 3 days or something. Girls are weird, strange. Most guys I know, we shit 1-2 times a day. And if you train yourself to just wake up, get into the bathroom, sit on the toilet, and just have a shit each morning, it kind of like regulates you, which is quite nice. And what I do straight after that's very interesting. I step on the scale that I have in my bathroom, you know, the one that measures your body weight. And I swear I do this every morning. I step on the scale and I log what my body weight is. You're an athlete now, right? I've got you on this Jeffrey to Adonis transformation. One of the most important parts of the self-improvement, you know, the young man's kind of transformation is fitness. You're an athlete. You should literally check your body weight every single day of the week and log it down somewhere. So I step on this bathroom scale, see my weight, and then I log it into my fitness pal. I put in my weight there. And then every morning I take a picture of my physique in the same pose, you know, in the bathroom mirror, and I add that to the MyFitnessPal little weight logger thing. You're an athlete. Like, you literally should be logging your data like this so you get fully attuned to your body weight and to your physique. You know why this is so nice? I literally have years and years and years of data of my body weight, of my physique pictures in the morning with the same lighting, with no pump, and I can see what weight I was at this period. I can see what food I was eating in 2022. I can see what my physique looked like after a certain injury or with a certain style of training. When you log this much data in like your fitness life, it becomes so useful. You know how most people go through life just always feeling kind of insecure about their physique and their fitness? When you become an athlete, you don't get that negative feeling anymore because you just see the reality, which is, okay, well, when I eat late, I often get a spike in my body weight because, you know, I'm holding on to more water. Oh, when I eat that kind of food, I often get a higher body weight the next day. You start picking up on these things, and you know what's nice about this? It stops you from being such an emotional person. Like, think about it. I've tracked my body weight every morning for years, right? Probably about 10 years. I know that every single time I have like a cheat meal, a big meal, like a pizza, my weight the next day goes up by like 2, 3, 4 kilograms. So if I do happen to have a cheat meal, which isn't often, but let's say I happen to have a cheat meal and I check my weight the next day and it went up by like 3 kg, do you think I'm gonna get emotional by that? No. But most people would. Most people are so triggered emotionally by their physique, by their weight. And this little habit in the morning takes that away from you completely because you've seen it all before. The next part of the perfect morning routine after I've, you know, shit, checked my weight, taken the picture, whatever, I go and brush my teeth. And here is a big tip, and I wish more people did this, especially girls as well, because a lot of girls don't do this and it's fucking gross. Brush your teeth, but then please, for the love of God, brush your tongue. Your tongue is where the stink is. You know how like someone has stinky breath? You would assume that the stink is on their teeth. It's not. The stinky breath that we all think of, you know, that person has stinky breath, I promise, it's not on the teeth, it's on the tongue. So brush your teeth like normal and then pull your tongue out and then brush the tongue as well for, you know, 10 seconds. Get rid of all that shit on there. Go as far back to the point that you like gag like a good girl. After brushing my tongue, I go and sit back into bed. I usually open like the window or something so I'm getting some sunlight in the room. And that's when I sit and I meditate. And this is exactly how I meditate now. I grab my phone and I use my normal clock app, you know, like the iPhone clock app. And I set a timer for like 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes. And I literally just close my eyes. I breathe. And what I try and do is I try and stay just focused right about here on my nose. You know, the sensation, the little sensation of the airflow in the nose, out the nose. I just try and stay focused on that little bit there, just right on the nose. Within like 10, 20 seconds of doing that, I'll notice that my mind has wandered and I wasn't focused on that part of my nose anymore. I was almost like in the middle of like a fantasy or a memory, or I was kind of thinking about something. As soon as that happens and you've gotten distracted when you're meditating, the point of meditation is to literally just not be pissed off at yourself. Just bring your focus back to the thing that you were meditating on. That's it. Just bring it back. That's how you meditate. You know, a lot of people have tried to meditate and they're thinking like, yeah, like how do you do it? It doesn't really work for me. I can't stay focused. And I always say to them, no, like you were doing it right. You were literally doing it right. When you notice you're not staying focused in meditation, like that's literally the point of meditation. You notice you lost the focus and you just bring the focus back to that little bit that you were focused on. And every time you bring your focus back to that thing that you were focused focused on, it's like you've just got to the next level of your meditation skill, and the next level, and the next level, and the next level. So next time you try and meditate, don't be annoyed at yourself if you notice that your focus has gone off. Actually smile and think that's the point, that's the reason why you're here. And if you're wondering, okay, but like, why should I even meditate? It's kind of boring, like, you know, what's it even good for? When you meditate, you're literally doing the opposite effect of what happens when you scroll. You know how, like, you've recently heard that when people scroll, it kind of ruins their attention span because the kind of thing you're focused on is changing too quickly. When you meditate, you're literally training yourself to just focus on one thing. So think about how bad the modern day attention span is because of short form content. Meditation is the opposite version of that. How cool is that? So how bad, like, the world has gotten, and it's one of the biggest problems ever that everyone's attention spans all messed up. Meditation will give you the opposite effect. It will allow you to be so focused on something, which is such a skill in the modern day. Like, that's how you create something beautiful. That's how you work and make something so amazing. Like, think about it. I'm focused and present when I record this. Imagine if I was trying to record this for you and my brain was going off and I was thinking about the workout I'm going to do after this. And I was thinking about what this girl said to me. You could imagine my advice to you in this video would be worse because I lost focus. But because I meditate, my focus is here. Like, I'm giving this advice to you, the young man who's watching this somewhere in the world, so that now you're getting like a better version of me. And I promise this is true. Meditation helps you in 100% of your life. You could not think of an instance in which being more present — present is like what you get from meditation, you know, the ability to focus — there is nothing in life that wouldn't benefit from that. Even eating. If you're focused, you'll enjoy eating more. Even if you get an injury, being able to focus — like, imagine you fall over and hurt your knee — being able to focus and stay present reduces the suffering that you get from pain. Like, there's been experiments done on Buddhist monks where they'll like electrocute them or make them feel pain, and they derive less suffering from the same pain as people who don't meditate. Like, you should be thinking, like, holy shit, like, I should grind this skill. Like, do it every morning. But also, maybe whenever you've got like 5 minutes free, you're waiting in line, maybe, you know, for your next class, you're waiting, or, you know, you're bored, it's a rest break from the gym, whatever, throughout the day, just focus on your breath. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Be like the weird guy in our generation who's not just glued to his phone all the time. The next step after I meditate is gratitude journaling. And this is a practice that changed my life forever. This is where you grab like a little notepad, like a journal, and you write down things that you're grateful for. I know, it sounds gay as fuck. I know it does. It, like, you grab your little diary. Dear diary, I'm so grateful for my friend's cock. Like, no, no. I know it sounds gay as fuck, but I promise it actually changed my life. And in a weird way, it's really masculine. You know why? Because you'll start to write that you're grateful for your hard work. You'll start to write that you're grateful for the guys in your life that have helped you. You'll start to write that you're grateful for your parents. Now think about that. Imagine every day you literally got like a piece of paper and you wrote sentences like, I'm grateful for, and you think about it and you're like, I'm grateful for my bedroom, because, you know, this is my room, this is where so many of my memories are, and I feel safe here. And I guess I'm grateful for my father because he works and he's got us this house, and, you know, he's provided, and he doesn't even really like his job, but he's doing this for us. Imagine if you just wrote those few sentences in the morning, how you would interact with your father differently that day when you wrote that you're grateful for him working and being able to, like, you know, get you guys this house. Can you imagine if you did this every day of your life, how different your interactions would be? Imagine if you wrote down, like, I'm grateful for my friend Jack, and then you're gonna go hang out with your friend Jack, like, in the gym, and imagine you literally wrote about him saying you're grateful for him because he makes you laugh or whatever. Imagine how differently, when you're about to go see him and dap him up, how much more present you'd be and how much more caring you'd be towards him. How everything in your life would change. And you can even write that you're grateful about the weirdest, silliest things, like, oh, I'm grateful for my water bottle. You know, because this is the one I drink off, and it's made from steel. It doesn't have like the whole plastic thing. And, you know, I really like, you know, drinking water is awesome and stuff. And then you start thinking, like, oh, well, I'm grateful for the people who made it. They probably made it in like some Chinese factory. I'm grateful for those people who made my water bottle. Have you ever heard someone in our generation talk like that before? When you start dating a girl and you write, like, oh, I'm grateful for her, the date that we went on, I'm grateful that, you know, the conversation we had yesterday, and then you send her a picture of what you've wrote, and that is the first time in that girl's life that any guy has ever said that he's grateful for her. And you stand out so much from everyone else who just kind of takes life for granted and they just go through everything. You're the guy who thinks, like, I'm grateful for my hands. Can you imagine how much more happy and fulfilled you would be in life because you're actually not taking things for granted like everyone else? So that's such a beautiful practice. And you know why it changed my life? Because when I heard how to do this like gratitude journaling thing, I wrote about my father. I heard about the idea of doing this. And for some reason, I felt compelled to write about my dad, but I also was there in like this kind of like aggressive kind of mannerism. And I was like, yeah, well, I've got nothing to be grateful for. You know, he was really angry and he hurt me and stuff. You know, he like slapped me when I was a kid. But I just stayed there and I just kept on thinking like, come on, you've got to write something about him. And I was like, okay, fine. I'm grateful that he brought us to the UK because I was born in Pakistan. So I wrote this like a few years ago. I was grateful that he brought us to the UK. And then I just stopped and I was like, that must have been really difficult. Like imagine more than 20 years ago, like Google and the internet was not even here. How did my dad bring us to the UK? Could you imagine the process of doing that before like the internet was really like a big thing? He would have had to go to like a physical location without even really knowing what time they open. Like, you know, like when you're about to go somewhere new, you check it up on Google Maps. Okay, it opens at 7, here's the address, whatever. He would have had to go to some like, I don't know, some embassy or some shit without knowing it. And I was like, oh, that's like, must have been hard. So I text him this and I was like, oh, well, I'm grateful that you brought us to the UK. You know, we got like a British education. I'm British, like I actually have the citizenship, the passport, whatever. And it's like, you know, that's a competitive advantage in the world. And my dad was actually active on his phone when I texted him. So he replied right away. And I will never forget what he said. He said, thank you. It took a lot of work and sacrifice, but it was worth it. In Pakistan, I had over 300 men who worked under me, like who worked for me. In UK, I've worked as a laborer, but it was worth it for my family. In the last like 1 or 2 years when we were in Pakistan, he ended up doing really well with his career. Like when I was born, we were literally in poverty. Like I didn't even get enough calories when I was like a little baby. So I kind of like had all these health problems, whatever. But in like the last year, he ended up getting a new job and a new job and a new job in like a rapid succession. So we ended up doing pretty well. And he gave all that up. I knew that story. You know, I kind of knew it before that moment, but imagine your dad texting you that. And this was just when I had graduated from university and I started working some jobs that I hated. You know, when you work like a shit job for the first time in your life and you start to think, oh shit, your parents have done that for like 20 years. And then you get a text like that. And then I was like, oh my God, I've been like mentally like so upset going to this job that I've got all, you know, full time and I hate it. I need to become like an entrepreneur and make money online. Like, this is before I started YouTube. And I thought my dad's done that for like 20 years to provide for the family. He had a good job. He had like status as a man that's so important. And he gave all that up to move over to the UK and work jobs that he didn't like just for us. Can you imagine all that pain and that resentment and anger that I was holding towards him because of, you know, like all these arguments and fights that we had just kind of dissipated when I thought, oh shit, he actually really loves me and he's taking care of me and the family. He sacrificed status as a man for his family. Like after that point, I swear to God, our relationship changed forever. I don't think me and my father have had one argument from that point. Whereas we used to argue and literally fight like every month, you know, he'd be texting me some abusive shit, would fight and he'd slap me or whatever. You know, like when you're a kid and your dad's like shouting at you and mom says like, oh, wait till your father gets home, whatever. Since that point, I was so well behaved because my respect for my father tenfold increased. All because I just wrote down that morning what I was grateful for. So I know this practice seems so gay and so silly, like, oh yeah, write down what you're grateful for. But think of like, I wrote down one sentence and my relationship with my father changed. Even this was 5 years ago, half a decade ago, and the results are still here from one sentence that I wrote down. So, you know, I'm teaching you these like morning routine habits. And a lot of people think this is like silly. They think like, oh, meditation doesn't work. Gratitude journaling's a bit weird, whatever. But can you see why I preach these things to you? Because of how much they've personally changed my life. And I want you to have a similar transformation just like I've achieved. That's why I love the morning routine. I love waking up, doing these like self-improvement habits first as a priority. And then you might be wondering, okay, well, once you've done this morning routine, once you've finished it, what do you do next? And that's when I think you get into work mode. That's when you sit down and do the hardest task of your business or your studies. You know, you think about the one that's hardest, the biggest task possible. Sit down and smash that out straight after your morning routine. But always, always, always make time for your morning routine because it will change your life just as it has done for me. When do you get to have fun? That's a question I hear so often when I talk about these things. But Hamza, when do I get to have fun? Am I just gonna like sacrifice my teens and my 20s to grind, or can I have fun as well? And to that, I always say, bro, this is fun. This is the real fun. Fake fun is when you wake up and you scroll and you play video games. That's fake fun. It's just stimulation. It's like fake dopamine. Real dopamine is when you're waking up, you're growing, getting to the next level, and you're improving the relationship you have with yourself, with God, with your family. Like, imagine that moment where I was texting my dad, telling him that I was grateful for him. I wasn't playing video games. I wasn't doing anything incredibly stimulating, but could you have imagined me texting my dad, him sending me all this, me telling him I'm grateful for him, and also me saying like, yeah, bro, I'm so bored, bro. No, of course not. When you do these wholesome things in real life and you're getting to the next level of the relationship you have with your family or with the girl that you're into, and you're journaling, you're meditating, you're reading, you're doing these things where you're growing, that is literally enjoyable. It's so enjoyable. The most enjoyable thing in your life is setting good goals and making progress to them. That is like the masculine path that you are on, from Jeffrey to Adonis. And the morning routine is such a beautiful way for you to consistently make progress in that path. And so ask yourself 500 times a day, what would Adonis do? Click and watch that video.